Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy here from our Intentional Living Center. This is the second part of a program. The first part was back in February. We're talking about getting on the same page in your marriage, and it made me think about, I was sitting in a board meeting in the past, and I can remember I was looking at one of the reports that we were going over as a board, and the rest of the board was looking at their book and their report, and what they were saying didn't make sense with what I was reading, and I was thinking I was misreading it or misunderstanding what was going on, and pretty soon it became apparent that we were all reading from the wrong page. And that creates a lot of dissonance and confusion. Now, we corrected it quickly and got on the same page, but you know, in marriage, that can go on day after day after day, not being on the same page in your marriage. And so we're going to continue that discussion today about what are you doing, or one thing that you're doing, or one challenge you have when it comes to getting on the same page in your marriage. While today's program is a best of and the calls are already set, we'd welcome your comments live today on our comment line when you call 888-888-1717. One thing you're doing to try to get on the same page in your marriage, and what difference is that making? All right, let's go to our first caller from Teresa, who last month, hear how she relates to this topic, who called us in the past. Go right ahead, Teresa.
Hi, thank you for accepting my call, and thank you for your program. It's such an awesome ministry.
Well, thank you. We're glad to do it. Appreciate it. What's your question today?
Well, where do we begin when you're not on the same page for anything? But I feel like it's because we're not on the same page walking with Christ, our spiritual walk. My husband says he's a believer, but there's no walk. There's nothing is a walk. No going to church, no acting, no, you know, and I don't know where to begin, because I feel like I'm growing bitter.
Mm. Yeah, and you know where that leads to, don't you, Teresa? The reason the scripture teaches us not to allow a root of bitterness to develop in our life is because of exactly where you are right now. And so you're wise to call and want to talk about that. We come back to this level of expectation. And I've seen this over the years where we have two people married. One is a believer and the other is not. And the believer prays for and loves the non-believer, and then the non-believer becomes a Christian, but maybe not experiencing their faith the same way or not on the same page. And all of a sudden, there's a level of expectation. We're supposed to now both be believers, and we're not the same level. And we know that whenever we have expectations for another person, especially our spouse and for our kids and people we love, whenever those expectations are not met, it creates disappointment in the relationship. So I would encourage you to, whenever you feel that bitterness coming, because my guess is it gets painful, is say, Lord, forgive me. And then pray specifically for your husband. You may have to do it 5 times a day, 10 times a day. Pray for your husband that God will move in his life, and keep the focus off of trying to change him, because at the end of the day, you know, we're not the Holy Spirit for our spouse, clearly. Okay, let's continue on here. Oh, Jennifer. Jennifer wants to respond to a caller that we had before, Viola, who called me, and God bless her. She and her husband have two different approaches to celebration. You know, she goes all out for birthdays and anniversaries, and her love language, as she said to me, was more along the line of, you know, words of affirmation and doing things, where her husband's love language is around touch, which is not unusual, by the way. And so her birthday comes and goes, and she has an expectation of a great celebration. And she said, I've told him this, and she's hurting by it, and she feels hurt by it. And we got a lot of comments that came in, including Jennifer, who's on the line in Arizona, who wants to respond to that. Jennifer, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You heard Viola when I talked to her. What do you say to her if she's listening?
Actually, I've been through the exact same situation. My husband is the exact same way, and I spent a lot of time in prayer and asking God to give me eyes to see my husband the way he sees him, because I knew in my spirit my husband loves me, as I'm sure Viola's husband loves her. And what I had to do was really readjust my expectations and be intentional about communicating with my husband in terms of, you know, what I need. And I did read The Five Love Languages. It's an excellent book, and that was very helpful. And for me, I made some adjustments in my marriage. And really, first, it was recognizing who my husband is. He brings different giftings to the marriage than I do. He's his own person. And so, much like Viola, when birthdays and Christmas and anniversaries come around, I tend to be somebody that kind of goes overboard in the celebration. My husband is the complete opposite. And I really just did kind of a check in terms of I like to call it equal opportunity. He wasn't treating me differently. He's that way with his inner circle, all the people he loves deeply, mm-hmm. he's the same way. So this is just who he is as a person. And for me, it was, if I wanted to go to dinner for my birthday, I would let him know, this is where I want to go. I'd send him a link. This is the restaurant. And I'd like for you to call and make the reservation. So it was just kind of an adjustment of how I approach things, kind of scaling back. We always acknowledge each other with a nice card and maybe a small token gift. But it was me needing to make some adjustments in the relationship and not coming to the table expecting him to be just like me.
That is a really offensive to some women who are listening, thinking, I mean, he should know that. But you've come around to the fact that if you stay stuck there, then bitterness does follow.
Exactly. And so it was an intentional choice of mine not to be that person.
Right.
I didn't want to grow bitter. I didn't want to grow resentful. And so I knew in order for me not to be that person, I needed to change. And part of that process also was me recognizing all the million little things that he does right for me that most people would take for granted. He does a lot of little things right that I appreciate. For example, he makes my coffee in the morning. My husband doesn't drink coffee, so that's just something that's for me. And so recognizing the little things that he does that are specific just for you, that are right and good, and just embracing that gift and blessing, and really just learning to appreciate him for who he
is,
and recognizing that I just needed to make some changes in the relationship. You've always got to pray about it. Keep God at the center of all of it. Ask God to give you eyes to see him the way you do. Ask God to change your heart about your husband so that you don't grow resentful, because then you give the enemy a foothold.
Absolutely.
And the enemy is not going to have a foothold on my marriage.
Good for you. Listen, Jennifer, what you're reminding us of is perspective. It goes back to what I said when we talked to Viola on another program, that it's so easy for us to focus on the pain point in our life. And I think I mentioned that show that very morning I had hit my toe on the door casing getting up in the morning. And it was still painful 3-4 hours later. And now I could once you start focusing on the painful little toe, it's kind of like your whole life is overtaken by the little toe. And it's easy to focus on what our husbands or what our wife is not doing that we want them to do, or an expectation that we've set, instead of focusing on the things they are doing. And one of the ways that we grow in our relationship is to make sure that we're appreciating it and being focused on the things that we're thankful for. And when those things occur, to intentionally make sure that we are showing appreciation. All right, we're going to take a quick break, be back. We've got Jody on the line with a question about, they both were using drugs. She's clean, he's not, apparently. What does she do when they're not on the same page with that, right? That's the question. And then we got a Facebook live question from Kate. What do you do when your husband isn't on board with tithing? All right, a couple questions we'll get to in a couple minutes here from Intentional Living.
It's time to take charge. No more surprises. No more confusion. No more negativity or isolation. It's time to take charge of your Facebook experience with Intentional Living.
And intentional is the key word here. On Intentional Living's Facebook page, you can connect with Dr. Randy and other listeners. Post your stories, comments, and questions. Keep up with the daily shows, topics, and guests. You know, stuff you can do intentionally so you can grow and know you're not alone. Click like at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
The Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska will put you right in the middle of some of the most amazing examples of God's creation. And Dr. Randy Carlson, host of Intentional Living, will help you focus on making God a priority in your life.
I love Randy Carlson. I learn a lot of stuff from him. A lot of laughs. He is so funny. Yes.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, when we're away from all the routine together on this cruise, we're going to be able to focus on God's intention for our lives.
Book your cabin for this once-in-a-lifetime getaway with Dr. Randy Carlson and special musical guest Mike Weaver of Big Daddy Weave. The Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska, June 12th through the 19th. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Yeah, we're getting close, and if you haven't reserved your cabin yet, I encourage you to do so today. As you heard, Big Daddy Weave, Mike, is going to be with us. Mike Weaver, as I've mentioned, from day to day, leading us in worship. Looking forward to that, hearing some of the songs that we've all sung and heard on the radio or maybe sung in church. He's going to be sharing from his own life and experience. He and his wife are going to be teaching. I'm going to be focusing, when I get a chance to share, I'm going to be talking directly about what is intentional living, a very positive, motivational, biblical teaching on this powerful thing we call intentional living. And beyond that, just to get to know each other and share with each other, spend time together, have dinner together, and just spend the week together. Again, June 12th through 19th, Evan Carlson, our ministry president, will be there along with his wife, Kelly, as well. He's going to be sharing with us during the week, too. Hey, so if you don't have your cabin, get it reserved to see some of the most beautiful sights on the planet. Just go to theintentionallife.com. And you can reserve that cabin today. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. Click on events for the cruise.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
We're talking same page marriage today. Our phone lines are open to you, 888-888-1717. Or if you've been watching us on Facebook, you can post your comments there as well today as we talk about getting on the same page. Speaking of Facebook, here's a comment from Facebook Live from Jerry. And I hear you, Jerry. Jerry says, I'm hearing all the women saying how their husbands, what they're doing, but yet not once has God's word given to them or the question asked, are you being a helpmate or a hurtmate? I'm dealing with a wife who lectures me on trust, yet turns around and does things behind my back, creating distrust, yet will never admit that she does anything wrong. Let's start with God's direction, respect first. How many times does Paul write this, and how many times does God say, wives, respect your husbands? Wives are helpers, not bullies. He states one time husbands are to give their lives for their wives. Five times, wives, respect your husbands. Now, there's an open line for you to comment on. Maybe you have a thought on that. What I will say to you, Jerry, is there's no secret that you and your wife are not on the same page. And you're right. We tend to, when we have programs like this, we tend to get more calls from women who are addressing issues in terms of not being on the same page with their spouse. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's sensitivity, awareness, more a willingness to call. I don't know. But you're pointing out that these things do cut both ways. And that's why it's so important that we get back to what the Bible teaches. If we were just practicing what it says in Ephesians 5:21, where we are to not only respect, but it says there that we are to submit to one another out of obedience to Christ. And the whole book of Ephesians, I don't know if you've studied Ephesians much, but Ephesians is broken into, and I don't want to get into a whole message here, but just to say the book of Ephesians, where we often go, where it says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect and reverence your husbands. And we get into that discussion, but what we don't realize is that whole passage begins with a therefore. And so what Paul is saying is, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, all of these things that are true for those of us who are believers, therefore, husbands love your wives, and wives respect your husband. So I would really challenge you, if you want to take a take a few minutes and really study Scripture. Maybe take the next month and really study Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Here's what it says. He redeemed you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He made you alive. He saved you by grace. He made you for good works. He adopted you. He chose you. And those are all the references that you'll find in those first three chapters of Ephesians. And then Paul says, therefore, husbands, love your wives. And the reasons we're to love our wives, guys, and why is the reason you're to respect your husband is because God said so. And what happens in our sinful world in which we live, it's really hard to do. It's really tough. Okay, let me get back to some calls here. We've got Jody is on the line in Arizona. Jody, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Appreciate it. What's your question?
My husband and I have been together about 10 years, and when we got together, we were both using. Mm-hmm. And I'm clean now. I had to finally just do it on my own. We tried to get clean together so many times, I can't even count. But every time we went back, and so I finally did it myself, and he's still using. And he's been in and out of rehabs. He went to prison for a year, but the second he gets out, he's back to using again. I keep telling him I'm going to leave him. I threaten him. I kick him out. But I love him. I don't want to give up on him. I know I can't fix him, but I'm worried about my sobriety. I'm doing great now. I'm going back to school.
Good for you.
But I worry about him overdosing because he's careless.
Well, Jody, you have obvious love for your husband, and as you know, there'd be a lot of people who would say, hey, I'm just out of here, would get out of the relationship. And there are people listening who've done that, and it's understandable because you need to protect yourself, take care of yourself. You don't want to get dragged back into that lifestyle. Here's what I really just practically encourage you to do. I'm sure you have a support system. You need to be in a support system where there are those who've been through what you're going through, can share with you intentionally what their experiences have been and the steps that you need to take to make sure you're taking care of yourself. You're praying for your husband. You want the best for him. And whenever I hear calls like this, I just think about in our culture what has happened, how drugs have destroyed so many families. And unfortunately, we're seeing thousands of people whose lives are being taken as a result of drugs today, the kind of drugs that are illegal and or even prescription drugs. We know the opioid problem now with thousands of people whose lives have been taken as a result of it. I do know this, that, and you know this too, Jody, that continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different result doesn't get you there. And the fact that there needs to be points of intervention where things are brought on the table and expectations are clearly stated and there are consequences for all behavior. And so to that end, obviously, those are things you need to get some help with. You need to get some support in a very practical way with people who've been through this. And we'll be praying for you. Terrible. Pray for Jody today, okay? All right. That's right. We did have a question, didn't I? I mentioned that Kate asked a question on Facebook. What should I do with my husband who isn't on board with me on tithing? Hey, listen, I've gotten that question a lot over the years, Kate. And now I'm assuming you're both believers. Maybe not. But I've always encouraged people who have this question, two things. One is, don't ever go behind the back of your spouse to do something. You're saying, hey, I'm obeying God by tithing, but I'm going to lie to my husband or my wife. God doesn't want that. That doesn't make it right. So never be dishonest. The second thing is to be able to go to your husband and say, honey, I can hear that. Maybe you don't see the reason for it. It's not important to you. It just seems like we're taking money out of the bank to do that. It's important to me because of my faith and what God's doing in my life. And I want to do this out of obedience to him. Can you trust me enough that we go through the rest of this year? Allow me to tithe, you know, and I'll help you manage the money. Let's manage the money together and let's test God. Let's see what God will do as a result of me being obedient in tithing to see where we are at the end of the year. And if you, if at the end of the year, you don't think that's something we should continue, then I will back off on that. I would love to hear how that turns out. A couple thoughts for you. This is intentional living. When you're not on the same page, what do you do? That's what we're talking about.
The last three chapters of the book of Ephesians is all about the moments of our life. How are we to respond in the moments? He goes on to say in chapter 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be angry, do not sin. Stop stealing. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. He's telling people that here's how, when you're facing a problem in your life, you're supposed to live.
You know, the teaching this month on miles and moments comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 119, where it says God's word is a lamp to our feet, like a low beam on a car, just to see a little bit around where we are. And it's a light to my path down the road, more like a high beam to see further down. Powerful thing. And what I teach basically is God's word gives us direction for the moments of life, the problems we're facing. When you confront an issue with your spouse or with a coworker or out on the road driving and there's road rage, you know, the scripture really helps us know how are we to live at that moment. And then also to set those goals for the future. Where are we headed? Where are we going? And so that's the teaching this month. Next month for April, it's going to be how an intentional life can save your life. I believe that. I've taught that lesson for April. So all new members, those of you joining us in support today, we'll make sure to get you included so you receive the teaching this month and next month and in the months ahead as well. Your monthly support allows intentional living to continue, and we need your help. In addition, we're sending our best-selling book from Intentional Living, Star for Affection. It's on marriage, about affection and love for marriage, a very powerful, helpful resource. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. You know, last month I talked with Jackie, who shared how her husband and her were not on the same page when it came to their marriage, especially because of the way her husband responds to their autistic child. And boy, did we get a lot of response. Let's listen to Ken. Ken, appreciate your call. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you for your show.
Thank you.
You know, my heart broke, too, as I heard Jackie's testimony today, but it also brought to memory a show that 60 Minutes did, and they still follow the autistic boy, a single mother, had a son. She was a model. She had a son that was autistic, brain damaged, the doctors told her, and blind. The father left and didn't want to be involved. And someone had given her a gift, the baby, a gift at Christmas time, a little piano. And she soon unwrapped the gift that God gave her. You know, I want to encourage Jackie that, you know, the world says that these disabled children are discardable. But I'll tell you, it's a hidden gift that you have to unwrap and find out what it is that God has given you. And I can tell you there's a testimony out there by Rex Lewis Clack, C-L-A-C-K, that will inspire you. He's a world-renowned child prodigy musician today, travels the world playing before hundreds. His mother wrote a book. They're financially well off now. And I encourage you to look that video up on YouTube and watch those 60-minute videos.
Well, I think you're pointing out again, Ken, that it's easy for us to focus on the disability of a person instead of their abilities and their strength. You get parents, though, too. And here's an 18, I think he was 18, the son with autism. And it puts so much strain and stress, but when that couple comes together and stands together and realizes that they can set some goals together to help their son become all that he potentially can become in life, instead of focusing on what isn't right, to focus on what is. It's a good reminder. All right, Ken, I appreciate your call today and reminding us that every life is worth living. Every creation of God has a meaning and a purpose, and yes, we need to continue to stay focused on that. So I'm glad you're listening today, my friend.
Thank you for the show, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call. All right.
You're welcome, and we'll be here for you. By the way, I just want to say on behalf of those of you who do support the ministry, when you hear the stories, and we get lots of them that come, and they're left on our comment line, or we get them online or whatever, people saying thank you for the show. We got many on Facebook today. That's why we're here. And it's because of your support that stories like this one from Karina is possible.
That was his biggest complaint. You know, once I got my volume in tune, our fighting and arguing and even the nagging, I think, came way down. The part of my nagging that was so bad was that it escalated always into a knockdown, drag-out fight. My secret was that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit have a still, small voice, and it couldn't be heard because I was always talking, always nagging. And once I calmed that down and quieted myself, the Holy Spirit would convict him immediately, and I could see the change. And often it was literally within minutes, but as long as my jaws were going, nothing was changing.
That's insight. That is intentional living. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life. All right. Debbie from Michigan left a marriage question on our comment line. I think we have time to get it in before the end of the show.
My husband and I just don't seem to communicate anymore. And when I try to talk to him, he just ignores me or walks away or just has a blank stare on his face and is like talking to a brick wall. He talks to other people, but he just doesn't seem interested in what I have to say. And I just don't know what to do about this.
Well, he's become wife deaf, you know. And it may be just disrespect, or it could be that it's a pattern of behavior that began when you got married and it's just been reinforced in his life. I would encourage you, Debbie, to change the pattern. Maybe you say things in a certain way. Maybe you're predictable and he's just learned this is the way he deals with it. And this is not unlike parenting. Pretty soon our kids get to be, they know how we're going to respond and we become pretty predictable. Maybe you need to change your approach and what you say and how you approach it with your husband. That'll be a little more of a wake-up call for him. And so, like, wow, I've never heard it that way before. I don't mean out of anger, but maybe getting in his face or doing it in a different way, in a different place, at a different time. To at least catch his attention to say, honey, we got to talk about this. Because we can have bad habits. I find so often in marriage, sometimes it's not because of lack of love or concern. We've got bad habits. We're lazy. We're just not doing the next right one thing. It's easy for us to come home and let down and not be as attentive or mindful of our spouse as we might be out in the workplace and someplace else. Hope that helps. All right, if you missed any of today's program or want to hear it again on demand, the podcast is available on iTunes and on our website at theintentionallife.com. Intentional Living is a ministry dedicated to helping you live an intentional life in Christ, to find your purpose, live your purpose, and to finish strong. So have a great day. Next time, more from Intentional Living.